Welcome back to the show, everybody. Cairo Knights, Mace and Mike. Happy Monday to you. Hope you all had a good weekend. You know the drill, 98973. That's the State Roofing text line. If you want to chime in, be a part of the conversation on the show tonight, let us know what you're thinking. That's the best way to do that. Just shoot us a text at 98973. You know who we're going to tell you. It's 9 o'clock. We're going to get straight to it. After I say, Seattle Sports at Night is powered by Star Rentals, the preferred supplier of the West's best contractors.
AC's on, turn up the microphone. She's talking sports, so you're about to learn a ton.
At 9 o'clock.
She hangs out with Mike and me, and you know from the song that now's the time with Stacey's on.
It's our bestest pal, Stacey Joe.
Your bestest pal?
Bestest. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not just best.
This is bestest. An honor.
Thank you. Thank you. The trophy's in the mail.
Yeah, this is second only to when I won first place of all third graders in the fire safety poster drawing contest at Bull Lake Elementary School.
Hold on.
I got to meet firemen out by a fire truck, and my poster was me and my parents and my sister and the dog meeting by the mailbox in the case that our house was on fire. And I remember to this day, my best friend at the time was obviously jealous, but her fire safety poster was babies in a tree that was on fire, and I didn't get it. So no offense, but I should have won and did.
What Stacy is not saying is this happened in 2017.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
Kicked some kid butt. I love that. Went in there, dominated them.
It's like Billy Madison style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You kids can't draw. This is drawing.
Yeah. You guys are the worst.
He's just body checking kids in PE.
We're the same size, though, so it's not as funny as Adam Sandler. It's like they start beating me up.
Ow.
Some third graders are big, you know?
Yeah, they are, man.
True, I know.
Gosh, what are they eating?
I don't know.
It's kale. Kids are eating too much kale now. It's making them too tall.
That's it. That's it. Oh, Stace. Well, how was your weekend?
Yes.
Did you do anything exciting?
I ate a lot. I had some pie. Coconut cream pie.
Oh, come on.
And I ordered pizza. I watched this show called Back to Life on Showtime. It's fantastic.
I've never heard of it.
And highly recommend it. It's a show about this woman who gets out of prison after 18 years, and it's a British comedy. So there are parts of it that are kind of like tragic and sad, but then there's like lots of dry humor.
Uh-huh.
Love British humor.
Me too.
And so for the first several episodes, you don't quite know what she did. And I think the point is that you're watching someone try to live this life of redemption and try to just kind of get back to her normal life. And you're supposed to decide how you feel about her before you find out about the crime. But oh my gosh, it was so good.
Did you ever?
So good. It's only 6 episodes. I would watch it all over again.
Speaking of British TV, have you guys ever seen The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret?
I've read about it.
Oh, it is. Now look, you know cringe TV, when they talk about cringe TV, like the characters
like
are just...
Nathan For You.
Yes, like Nathan For You,
or
The Office was pretty good at this.
Right.
Like Scott's Tots, that episode. You're just like all tight inside, and you're just cringing watching these unfortunate events unfold. The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret is the most extreme example of cringe comedy I've ever seen. It's a British show, but it stars David Cross, Will Arnett, Pete Serafinowicz is in it, who is incredible. And he ends up...
Who is the lead? David Cross?
David Cross. And he basically lies his way into this job as the distributor. He moves over to England and becomes the distributor for this energy drink, but it's like toxic and made in North Korea. And he ends up like getting accused of terrorism, and it just escalates and escalates. And at no point in the show that he has so many chances to save himself, and he just refuses to and keeps digging deeper and deeper. It's really incredible and an awful experience to sit through.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's those kinds of shows. They're so funny, but you just like, that's how I felt about Nathan For You. There's so many episodes that are so funny, like tears
so
in my eyes laughing.
Brilliant.
And then other ones where I've contorted my whole body like a spider that's dying, and I just can't bear to watch it.
Yes. The last episode of Nathan For You is one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen in my life.
That show was so good.
It is remarkable. Anyway, let's stop talking about TV shows most people haven't seen. Yeah. And get on to sports. Big news out of New England today, Stacey.
Yeah, I'd say, man, one of the bigger stories to come out of sports or the NFL in the last several weeks, which is Cam Newton, former league MVP, a former Super Bowl quarterback, was the franchise quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. He has signed on a veteran minimum one-year deal with the New England Patriots. Now, this is big news for a lot of reasons. One is Cam Newton is as much a big quarterback as he is a big personality. And so he just garners a lot of attention wherever he goes. And I like him. I think he seems like a good player. He said problematic things before, particularly his comments about it's funny that when women talk about routes, like, not a great look. But overall, I think that he gets more criticism than is warranted. And I think that people were wondering, like, how is this guy still not with a team? Like, how are we seeing all these other teams sign these, like, mediocre third string guys and Cam Newton, who granted is coming off of a shoulder injury, but Cam Newton's still unsigned. And there were a couple different angles you could take to the conversation. You could say, well, this guy's Cam Newton's a starter, like a team with a starter or a questionable starter isn't going to bring him in. But I think he still was just available for way too long. Finally, of course, the Patriots swoop in. Bill Belichick gets, like, the steal of free agency, bringing in a starting caliber quarterback for his franchise at a league minimum deal. His deal is worth up to $7 million in incentives, but contracts with heavy incentives are usually ones that require you to, like, make it to a Super Bowl and start a certain percentage of snaps to get those incentives.
Right.
So they're effectively paying, like, a bare minimum. The second reason it's a big story is that it's Cam Newton with the Patriots. This feels like two polar opposites somehow colliding, and you're wondering what it's going to look like in a year that was already going to have a lot of attention because Bill Belichick was finally entering his first season in 20 years without Tom Brady.
Right.
The thing about this that I think is interesting, and this is going to, I'm going to struggle with this for a minute because I don't want to say that I'm excited to watch the Patriots at any point to everyone. It's like saying I'm excited to watch the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not. But what I would say, though, is that I think this is so interesting because this is, you rarely get the backup, like Jimmy Garoppolo was the backup. Had something happened to Tom Brady, they would have kept him, and he'd be the starting quarterback probably now. But he's a very similar quarterback to Tom Brady. In fact, Brian Hoyer, Matt Cassel, all of these backups who have gone on to a lot of money in other places. I mean, Belichick has propelled backup quarterbacks in the way Bill Walsh used to, or Elvis Gerback and Jeff Kemp and all these people would get these huge contracts because the system was strong, unlike Belichick's people largely. Bill Walsh's people were never the sort of great that they were as either Joe Montana or Steve Young's backup because, you know, the style of offense that was so distinct, the style of offense that Bill Walsh ran. But this is so interesting to me because Cam Newton is a very, very, about as different of a quarterback.
Right.
It would be like them getting Russell Wilson, but even more different.
Right.
Like, to see what Cam Newton does, and if Cam Newton is great in this system, I mean, not that Belichick's reputation isn't already well established, but he starts looking like genius coach if he gets out of Cam Newton
what
he got out of Brady within a system that is actually built around, modified, I guess, for Cam Newton.
Well,
I think it's super interesting.
System is the word because if there's anything I think that the Patriots are known for,
it's the Patriot way.
It's that Bill Belichick has a way of doing things. It's his machine, and you are a cog in that machine, and you do your job, and if everyone does their jobs together, they win.
Right.
And it's been very successful. And so to bring in somebody to replace a very particular type of cog who is a very different type of cog is you're right, going to be
super,
very
interesting. We're going from a classic drop-back passer. I mean, Tom Brady is not the slowest guy in the NFL.
Sure.
There's a chance he actually is the slowest guy in the NFL. I mean, he literally is. And Cam Newton, provided he's healed from his injuries, this is why his market value dropped some. Cam Newton is an exceptionally dynamic guy.
Yeah.
You know, it is going to be like what Belichick decides to do and to both limit him and expand his repertoire, I think is going to be one of the more interesting stories in football this year.
For sure.
Definitely. And it cements Belichick's legacy, too, because
totally.
You've got a year when Brady is going to be. I mean, it's hard to divorce his legacy, even though he's been successful without Brady. It's hard to divorce it from Brady.
Yeah.
So the question is going to be the same question people have about Tom Brady in Tampa. Can you do it without Bill Belichick? Can you do it without the Patriots and out of that division?
Yeah, I mean, like even when Brady replaced Drew Bledsoe, they were not that fundamentally different.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they did many of the same things. Brady, it turns out, does them better than Bledsoe. But Bledsoe was having a pretty good year when he got injured.
Right.
And this is, to me, like Cam Newton, though, is a very different thing. And also from an attitude standpoint, he's always had these sort of ups and downs on how happy he appears to be playing football. Slotting him into Belichick's system is going to be a really, really interesting experiment. I hope Cam Newton tears it up. I've always kind of liked the guy anyway.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him do well in that system.
Can we talk about the contract? I mean, you said, Stacey, that he, you know, there are bells and whistles attached to the contract, but it is a minimum. That sounds odd to me. I admittedly know nothing about NFL contracts, but that sounds odd to me. Is Cam Newton happy with that? Do you think that he, you know, that it's fair?
Well, no. I mean, I don't think it's fair. It's hard to tell how much of this is tied to his health and a very weird offseason where another top free agent, Jadeveon Clowney, remains unsigned. I think, though, that the reason that a lot of people are questioning it, for one, Richard Sherman, himself a former Seahawk, who says, so he tweeted, how many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum asking for a friend? Just ridiculous. Mm. A transcendent talent, and less talented QBs are getting $15 to $16 million a year.
All
disgusting.
True.
So
wow.
I think that's the thing. I think that you could point to, you know, oh, well, he's not healthy, he's whatever. But I think that one thing that Cam Newton carries with him that is not deserved, and I think is the result of being a black quarterback, is he's tagged with this like diva mentality that he's a problem in the locker room, that he's got a bad attitude. And that's not the way that people have actually spoken about him. It's this really weird thing where I assume that Richard Sherman and others have alluded to with this, with how long Cam Newton was available, is that there are things that black quarterbacks have been critiqued for that white quarterbacks have gotten away with. Like, look at Baker Mayfield.
I'm not sure I agree with that 100%. I agree with that somewhat. I mean, and I definitely agree with the way their black and white quarterbacks have been treated differently. But I would also say, I mean, I give you Jay Cutler as a great example, as a guy who can still throw and people just got tired of him. Or Jeff George, a guy who had the best arm in all of the NFL.
Hmm.
But it was his attitude that ended his career. It wasn't him being, I mean, I think it does happen. I think Jay Cutler's a great example, a guy who would sit on the sidelines and obviously display, like, he'd pout. It became a meme. He pouted so much on the sidelines. And so I think that some of that with Cam Newton, if you've watched Cam Newton, when he starts to get frustrated in the game, it's very clear in his body language. And it's I don't know that is, I agree with you that there is a difference in the way quarterbacks are treated based on race. I would say Cam probably does get somewhat too much attention for that, but I would say that Cam, there is a portion of that Cam has actually gone ahead and earned, like other white quarterbacks in the league. Baker Mayfield's a great example, but people have criticized. I mean, I've read a lot of criticism about Baker Mayfield and his attitude. Now he's I don't know what he's going to be making next year. Certainly more than Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a better quarterback? No.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that the existence, though, of a double standard with quarterbacks is what makes people question it, even though you could point to many other things, like the fact that he's coming off of shoulder surgery and had a Lisfranc injury, which affects his ability to plant his foot. And there have been players who have come back from that, but then there have been players who have struggled with it. So what makes it tricky is you can point to that and people who will say, oh, well, it's not that, it's just the injuries, could almost excusably point to it, and it would make sense in a world devoid of context, I think that what's so hard for people is there are also tons of examples where that's not relevant, and what you see instead is a double standard. And this kind of falls in that like muddied water of I feel like carrying both things.
So totally, and to your point, is that great study somebody did? I think 538 did on black NFL coaches versus white ones, and how the trigger gets pulled much faster if you are a mediocre black coach than if you are a mediocre white coach. And they went through and they sampled out for relative strength of teams and how long you're allowed to exist with a losing record, and it was just completely, the data was completely convincing that black head coaches, including separating out for like, are they a new coach or not, you know, all kinds of things. And it was pretty damning information, you know, about the way. Yeah. So to your point, I think it absolutely exists in the league.
Hmm. Do you think that Bill Belichick is going to modify his plan or his style of play to use this? Because he's a good coach. I'm going to start there. I think Bill Belichick is a great football coach, right? So he knows what he's doing. Do you think he's somebody who's more likely to adjust his plan to take advantage of the different strengths of a Cam Newton, kind of turn everything up on end, or really try and get Cam to work within the framework that already exists?
No, I think that Bill Belichick, maybe culture-wise, Bill Belichick, you have to conform to his system, but game planning, Bill Belichick will do whatever it takes to win. And I think that he's had Tom Brady there for so long that people forget that he is a defensive-minded head coach, much like Pete Carroll. And his background was really with defensive backs. And yet he was, and this is something pointed out by my co-host, Jake Heaps, and yet Belichick found himself with this generational talent in Tom Brady and altered his entire offense and his approach to football with that quarterback. Mm. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he excels on the other side of the ball, and yet he adjusted the way that his team, and he's also kind of like doubles as the GM, that his team focused on their strengths, turning it into an offensive team. And I know that they excelled at defense last year, but this team has been about Tom Brady. And I think for that reason, you know, we compare Carroll and Belichick all the time, and the idea that we have with both of them are that absolutely nothing should make you stray from your philosophy. I don't know that Belichick as much has an in-game philosophy that he doesn't stray from as much as Carroll does. I think that his is, the philosophy is part of how you approach the game and it's your culture, but I would absolutely expect Belichick to adapt and find a way to continue to win. And he's a smart football coach. He knows where Cam Newton's strengths lie, and he'll find a way to exploit that. There's no way that he'll stifle it for the point of sticking to a philosophy.
Stacey Joe.
Yes.
We gotta go.
Okay. Yeah. I understand.
I know.
That's okay.
The music starts playing. We gotta get out of here.
I know. Okay. Okay.
Thanks for talking to
us. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks, as always.
Have a great rest of your evening. We'll see you tomorrow. If you need more.
All right.
If you need more Stacey Joe in your life, you can hear every day from noon to 3 on 710 ESPN on the Tom, Jake, and Stacey Show. Mike and I will be back, everybody, with more Cairo Nights right after this.
Previously on Cairo Nights.
We have in our midst an elite Twitter account.
It is the city of Kent. They will tweet out stuff like, have a good weekend, folks. If you're going to do anything bad, do it in Auburn. To our haters, three easy steps to get rid of us. One, unfollow us. Two, delete your account. And three, move to Auburn. Public service announcement. Just because the weather is nicer doesn't mean you should wear sandals if your feet look like they could swoop down and catch your dinner from the river. Your community thanks you.
There's a personality here
that is very strong.
Yes.
I know that the city of Kent enjoys chicken nuggets and White Claws.
The city of Kent. Twitter account has kind of caught fire. This is what makes your town interesting. A town that does not take itself too seriously, but still has the civic pride to have a good sense of humor.
Whoever is behind this, and I can only assume the city has come to life and is sentient now and is tweeting somehow.
I'm hoping, and I'm going to talk about this on Twitter with the city of Kent because we are waiting. We are waiting to talk to you, city of Kent.
Well, wait no longer, Cairo Knights listener. I can talk. Because, Mike, you did indeed slide up into those DMs.
I did.
And conduct an interview with the city of Kent on Twitter. So, joining us now, for real, is the City of Kent Twitter account. City of Kent, you up for this? You feeling good?
Okay, sir. What are the questions? Let's do this.
That's awesome.
All right. First of all, we have to let everybody know that you've requested to stay anonymous, so to protect your identity, we're going to modulate your voice. Do you prefer soprano or baritone?
Ooh, I like it.
Serious. Okay, now, I'm going to pause for a second. Cairo Knights, obviously, we couldn't actually literally talk to a Twitter account. And whoever it is that runs it never got on the phone with us. Right, Mike?
Like, it all happened on Twitter.
It all happened via text on Twitter. So the voice that you're hearing is actually an actor reading the transcript of the interview that Mike did over direct message.
All right. So first questions. What are the biggest misconceptions about Kent?
Biggest misconception about Kent is that we're either a farm town or a ghetto. But we're freaking amazing. First of all, look who picks Kent as a place they want to be. Amazon is a huge operation here. Jeff Bezos is one of the richest men in the world owning Amazon. And when he decided to open a rocket building company and employ 4,000 people, he picked Kent. Starbucks has less than 6 roasting plants in the entire world that make coffee. And one of them is right here in Kent. They pick us because we have an amazing community full of amazing people. We have diversity as the 10th most diverse county in the U.S., We come from all over the world, and we call Kent homes. Come check us out.
So you've been very vocal about your love of chicken nuggets. Why? Why nuggets?
Asking a person why a chicken nugget is like asking if they want to be rich and die famous. The answer is, why not? It doesn't matter if it's the beauty of the golden shell, the satisfying crunch, or the delicious tender treat down inside. The beauty of the nugget is also in the sauce. You know, you can dress a nugget up or down for any occasion. Backyard family time? Barbecue sauce. Treat on a hot day? Ranch. A black tie dinner? Sweet and sour, baby. It's a food for everyone and every occasion.
According to Wikipedia, quote, during and after the Great Depression, Kent was known as the lettuce capital of the world. Was that much lettuce the actual cause of the Depression?
When your parents told you to eat your veggies, did you ever get super excited about lettuce? Me neither. So imagine being surrounded by it more than any other place in the world. That would cause me some Great Depression as well. Wait, are we talking about an economic depression? I'm pretty sure it was an actual depression and caused by lettuce. But actually, we went from lettuce to launches. You know, rocket companies like Blue Origin are built and based in Kent, so we've advanced our game a bit since then.
So what does the Kent City Council think about your Twitter activity? Do they even know about it?
The council's fairly indifferent about our Twitter, mostly because they're bigger Facebook users than Twitter, honestly. Our Facebook's witty and funny, but not nearly as much as Twitter. Most of them love it and engage with us on Twitter, though. It was the mayor who I almost gave a heart attack. She's very professional, very mayoral, and thought I was crazy at first, but then the audience grew and grew and then grew, and the community actually started responding. So now we go places, and the first question we get is asking who runs our social media. 98% of our community loves it, and the other 2% must not like nuggets.
What about the other cities in the area? Are they jealous of Kent?
Other cities are jealous, and I hear about it all the time. A few asked us to collaborate. Two cities asked me to talk smack about them to help build a base and followers, but they should be jealous. Kent is the best in the West. They should feel lucky just to be in the same region as us. We love them, but they're no Kent.
Speaking of that, you're always giving Auburn a hard time. My question is, does Fife feel left out?
Yeah, Fife and Sumner are both trying to get on our level. They clearly feel left out. It reminds me of my little brother. You know, I love you, but that doesn't mean we're going to hang out every day.
All right, well, thank you. That's our time. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on Cairo Nights.
Thanks for having me. It's always good to meet a fan.
And like we haven't said it enough here, where is it that people can find you?
It's City of Kent on Twitter, @CityofKent.
Well, there we have it, Mike.
I'm even more impressed, and I'm even more curious who this person is.
Straight up, I can't be... this is not like a gag. We genuinely do not know who this person is.
Yeah.
This is like we should hang signs up on poles or in the post office.
But for all of you who were following our back and forth with City of Kent on Twitter on Friday, this is what we promised you. And I would say, if you get a chance, tweet this conversation out too. Let's find out. Or maybe let's not. But let's encourage the City of Kent for having a dynamite sense of humor and a great social media presence.
It's like Banksy. Do you really want to know
who it is? At some point, you don't.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Having some fun. Thank you, City of Kent. Thank you all for listening. We will be back, Mike and me, with some more Cairo Nights right after this. Mason, Mike, shutting it down on a Monday evening. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Coast to Coast up next, but first, it's time for What's on Your Mind. We're going to tell you, you can tell us if you want, 98973 is the state roofing text line. Anyone want to go first? Frank, you itching?
I'll go.
Mike.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Why not?
So I have been putting off the end of, I think, a little bit the way you are. You're on a podcast now that you're liking as much as any podcast you've heard in a long time. I'm on a book called The Big Goodbye, The Chinatown and the Last Years of Hollywood. And it's a book kind of about the movie, making of the movie Chinatown, but more about the context in which it was made. If you've not seen the movie, you should. It's one of the great all-time movies in a particular era in Hollywood where they were changing the way the big studios worked into a different sort of film that they began making all the way through the 70s. With your favorite movies in the early 70s, the weirder ones, it's because of this movement to move toward better and different storytelling and not sort of classic movie form. But then there's a whole bunch behind it, particularly that Los Angeles essentially was built on a crime of giant scale, of stealing all the water from Owens Valley to build Los Angeles. And that's what the movie is about. But this whole book is just mind-boggling. It's so good and so interesting.
Wow.
And I've been listening to it, and now I've been sort of like on slow playing the end so I don't get done with it overly fast as much as I want to keep listening to it. So that's actually what's been on my mind. It's called The Big Goodbye, which is a play on The Long Goodbye, which is a Raymond Chandler hard-boiled detective novel set in Los Angeles that ties into this whole thing.
That's awesome. Frank?
I just finally finished season 8, so the final season.
Homeland?
Homeland.
Oh, there he is.
You know, the show was awfully consistent. You know, it did the same thing to me every time. The first couple of episodes of the new season, I was going, okay, where's this going? What's up with this? And then, boom, hooked me, and then I just wanted to get to the end. So I very, very good experience watching it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm going to miss it, and I think it's largely because the characters are not characters. They were pleasant enough and interesting enough that I wanted to spend time with them, right?
But they frustrated you.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They are very, particularly Carrie. Carrie Matheson is one of God's most frustrating characters ever.
Is it something that you would recommend people check out, but not necessarily have to watch all 8 seasons?
Oh, yeah. I think you can watch any of the seasons and thoroughly enjoy it. But just important safety tip. If you expect to see kind of a conventional lead character, Carrie Mathison, the CIA person, she is not. She is...
You are so riled up every time. Every time you talk about this show, you get riled up.
Well, it's just, you know, she's just
funny.
I'm sorry, but she's just not quite. And as soon as she tells you, "I'm not lying, I'll never lie to you," you know she's.
It's usually the first lie.
Yeah, it's the first of many.
Mike mentioned it. I'm listening to the Wind of Change podcast. It's an 8-episode podcast that seeks to figure out whether or not the CIA wrote the Scorpions' hit song, right, Wind of Change.
Yeah.
And the 8th and final episode came out today.
And no spoilers.
No spoilers. But it is, I'm not even going to tell you what happens, because one of the things, like, this show is so exceptional in the way that it puts out its information, the way it tells its story.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well done. And they really, you can tell they took their time with it. They invested some money into it. I mean, this guy's Patrick, the host, is just flying all over the world talking to people. A lot of it's about, you know, the fall of the Soviet Union and the Berlin Wall, and the Scorpions were a West German band back in the day. And it's just, it's absolutely fascinating and totally worth a listen. And they really, as is with any conspiracy theory, it's sometimes really difficult to plant your feet on the ground of an idea,
mm-hmm,
and you don't really know which way is up, and this does this exceedingly well.
And the conspiracy is whether or not the CIA wrote Wind of Change.
Correct.
For the Scorpions.
Correct. It is based on a story that a friend of his heard from someone within the CIA, saying that, yeah, we wrote this song. And then he goes and he interviews everybody involved, from former agents. You learn a lot about how the CIA works, I guess, if they weren't lying about it. Like, you just never,
right,
it's the CIA.
Right.
So you just never know. They hit you with that. What's that? What's their, there's a name for, we can neither confirm nor deny.
Plausible deniability.
There's like a certain term. It's based on the guy who originally came up with it, because, you know, when they don't want to talk about something, that's what they give you. And he asks, you know, hey, were you guys involved in like music stuff? And they're like, yeah, we've done some of that. Did you write Wind of Change? We can neither confirm nor deny. Like, it's just,
well, and even when they know that they didn't, they still love that answer, because
yeah,
it just,
right,
they know it keeps
it
you on your heels.
It works people up.
They love messing with you.
And let me add one last final coda. The Aaron actually knows more about podcasts than most people around, and to watch him get this enthusiastic about this one means it's probably a must listen.
Yeah, it's,
sure sounds like
it's the best one I've heard in a long time.
Wow.
It's very good. Well, that's it for us, friends. Thanks so much for listening. For Mike Lewis, Frank Shires, I'm Aaron Mason. We'll see you all tomorrow.
When you're in danger, take a look all around. And I'll